Hey everyone, you're listening to the Discovery Series with me, Christina, also made of me as Taylor. We'll be having a very intriguing guest with us today. He is an artist, emotional literacy educator, and mindful breathing and meditation facilitator. He has embarked on the arts and educating world by making films, being involved in book projects, teaching classes, and many more. Before I introduce our guest, today's episode is called How Emotions Create Identity. We'll be talking about his journey from being a teacher to an artist and back to teaching, how he and his partner came up with an educational program called Empathy for Youth Academy, EFY. We'll be talking about how emotion literacy can help an individual, the people around them, and the environment. How does meditation help individuals grow? And lastly, some personal take-home messages from our guest of honor. So without further ado, I would like to introduce the exceptional and humble Azad Mazir. How are you doing, Azad?
Wow, thank you for the introduction. Assalamualaikum, good morning. Happy Ramadan to you too. I'm very well today. Excited for this recording.
Assalam, thank you so much, and happy Ramadan to you too. It's nice having you today, and thank you so much for accepting our invitation. So, Azad, you've told me that you're currently on sabbatical from being an emotional literacy educator. That's one fact about you. One recent work you did was last November. You ran workshops at Young Changemaker Summit. You are also attending Vipassana meditation courses. You do a lot of things. I would consider you to be an active person. So before we talk further about emotional literacy, why don't we start off by getting to know you a little bit more? So would you kindly tell us about yourself and the work you've done before or alongside as an emotional literacy educator? Please welcome.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for that question. Yeah, I guess I'll start with introducing myself as a lifelong learner. And technically, I was a teacher. I was trained in the TESOL program back in UTM in Johor. And after having that education, I went on and teach. I taught in the tertiary level institution, College Metroklasi Labuan. And after that, I quit my job and went to India to teach a little bit more to see if teaching is really the frontier for me, you know. Yes, it is, and I do miss it. That's why I'm back. So after I quit that job, I became an artist. I started with filmmaking, and then I ventured into the theater world, and I also am also a visual artist. I make graphics, I write copy, I translate, and I'm back to the world of teaching now. First teaching myself emotional literacy, and at the same time as I learn, I become a teacher of emotional literacy. That's all for now.
I see. Okay, that's good. I mean, you are involved in many activities and many projects. You were a teacher, and then you went to, you know, the art world, you're making films, and went into theater, which is really impressive. And I would say that you have experienced many things. So that's definitely cool, you know? You and Ilya Subantu came up with an educational program called Empathy for Youth Academy, or EFY for short. So I initially knew about you from EFY. So I am curious, how did you both come up with EFY?
Right. This work, EFY, started during the pandemic, during our lockdown. It's actually founded by Ilya Subantu herself. For a while, she was, I think, looking for a partner looking for someone who wants to also do the same work. And during the pandemic, I personally had a rough time, you know. Like most of us, we were trapped in our homes and couldn't, you know, it was a different change. So the change in the body, the change in our mental capacity, my mental health, it all brought me to the, I think I was at the brink of depression and anxiety also. There's death going on. There's the situation was, as we all know it, right? It's almost like yesterday that this happened, that the artists, people who make their work through conducting or running events, were not being able to do it. So we were all stuck, and but for that, I was also, you know, being an artist, the access towards having services, healthcare, mental health, things like that, if it's not in the government stream or offering, and if it's the private ones, you can't really afford them, or you don't know where to go, and things like that. So I started to read up a lot. I started to feel that, you know, through meditation especially, that I managed to pick up myself again. So when I say depressed, I was depressed or at the brink of it or being anxious. I want to just to make clear that I wasn't clinically diagnosed. This was just a feeling that I had, because something with depression, I think we personally would feel not knowing what is happening. Like, why are we feeling gray? Why are we feeling, you know, you're not feeling 100% yourself. And I think that is my measurement. I'm just trying to also be careful about the choices of my words here. But deep down, there's that feeling. And what transformed for me was the connecting with other people, connecting with friends, asking them, hey, how are you? And do you want to probably meditate with me online or things like that? And some, actually a handful of people agreed to that call, to the invitation to meditate together. So I just, at that time was also a new meditation student of the Vipassana technique. So I was also, you know, trying to hone in my practice and at the same time teach others or share. I wouldn't call it teach at the time. I was sharing. So I thought this was very important of a highlight for me as a learning process, that as I was taking care of myself, I felt that the service of sharing and connecting with other people suddenly gave me this almost like a power, you know, like I had this surge of confidence again. Suddenly, it's almost like a night and day thing. Like, let's say I seeded the idea of an invitation, like, hey guys, on WhatsApp, let's do this, like maybe 2 days ago, and then today, the day itself, that I'm holding the space in terms of like sending recording of my voice, asking them to focus on their breathing, focus on their you know, the chest collapsing or chest expanding, and you know, this kind of simple instruction for friends made me felt so different. I felt like, oh wow, I'm excited again. So only by then I felt like, wow, all along I was feeling this gray energy, this feeling gray. I use the word gray because it was just mendong and cloudy. It's almost like the clouds are above your head, almost that feeling. Yeah. Only then I realized I was in that loop, you know. And so I even wrote this down as a face of sakti bhakti. Sakti to me is magic, and bhakti is service. So the magic of picking ourselves again through our own practice, just keep doing at that time, and then sharing it with others, somehow gave me that light, you know, and the sense of lightness. And so with coming back to EFY, because of this experience and because of me holding that space for myself and others and some friends, one particular friend, actually, Musa, who's also a yoga teacher, a Kundalini yoga teacher, who happens to be my good friend and my yoga teacher herself, she told me about Ilya and introduced me to speak to Ilya because Ilya's looking for someone and vouched for me. And so after a meeting with Ilya, having this sharing, exchange and connecting with each other, we felt like, hey, I think we're in a good headspace and intention. We want to spread out more of this because we realize we are not unique, right? We are one of those who can manage, but there are many others, especially young people who couldn't. And people are even not aware of how to name their emotions and some tools and techniques to hold themselves in this type of difficult time. So that's why we proceeded with this idea. And I was in love with this idea and believe in it deeply that we are able to do this not only for others, but first of all for ourselves. Yeah.
Cool. Well, firstly, I would say that congratulations and thank you for establishing the program, because I believe it's very important and it's a great initiative. And now that I understand the foundation of where EFY came from, it's inspiring, because, you know, I know that as well as for me, I think many people, at least the majority of us, when pandemic hit, we were in so much gray. You know, we were from like socializing to having to distance ourselves. And I'm not really sure how you were, but I was with my family, and even with my family, I had, you know, difficulties. I actually cried the first week of, in the pandemic. I was like going around the house. Don't want to use the word crazy, but you could say like that. I told my sister like I feel really bad, I feel really, you know, I feel very unwell. So knowing and understanding that you found something that you love, you know, how to say it myself, you would call it hikmahla of the pandemic, and you found something that you love, and then you need to have a thing, and then you also collaborated with Ilya, which is good, which is amazing. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful that it happened, although, you know, pandemic was a really bad thing for all of us. But the things that have come up has been great. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for that. Yeah. Thank you for noticing. And also, I must admit that, to be honest, the aspiration, the vision, plans for the future, this type of thing, for me, pre-pandemic, is vastly different than during and after. I would consider now the aftermath or the post-pandemic, because we are now able to go out. We by choice, having masks on or not, right? And so I would consider this a more freeing and pace of our lives. But I must say, and I must admit, there's also this anger, you know, like it feels like I cannot see the U-turn anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In a good way. But at the same time, there's also, because it's a transition, I never in a million years I would think of me being attracted to this type of work.
Mm-hmm.
I started with many, many years ago trying to understand apa meditasi tu benda kan.
Mm-hmm.
When people close their eyes, what do they actually do? So I was one of those, and still am actually, having a lot in my mind. And most days during the pandemic, I could not sleep. And that felt like hell, because by not being able to go to sleep, you ruin, or you feel like you have less upper hand for the days to come, because, rest is the most important thing in your life for your body. And suddenly you cannot do that well. And so feeling stuck, feeling like while at the same time not being able to do things in the arts field,
mm-hmm.
because artists collaborate all the time, making theater, making films are all collaborative work. You have to collaborate with a team and you can't do that. And this feeling of connection wasn't there, this feeling of hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
So the anger is this, like, why am I being put here to go through this, all of this pain and feeling a bit like in hell and needing, of course, I needed to take away all of that or process that and experience that. And the key word here is experience,
mm-hmm.
that I am no longer feeling, or at least at this point, that my work in the theater, or most of the work in theater, I even felt some kind of a resentment,
mm-hmm.
towards theater, like, what have you given me, or what you this now the world and this theater thing didn't supplement or didn't nurture or didn't nourish me at the time when I needed it the most. And that was my process, that I had to go through that anger or resentment, for the lack of a better word. I even thought to myself, resentment is the closest thing that I can name it.
Mm-hmm.
But there it is. There's this feeling of, why me? Why am I now feeling the need pula to care and extend this service or offer the lessons, or because we for the longest time we did classes online, our workshops were online, or all the programs were online, and people weren't able to leave their house, so that happened for the longest time. And there's that feeling, there's no way I can be thinking about theater now when the world is collapsing, or when the world is needing this other help, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that that I wanted to emphasize. And it's also almost like a feeling of envy also when other people still do creative work, still do able to just hold on, like, oh, We can't act now. Let's do reading online. We can't mm-hmm. act in front of the audience in a location. Let's do it online. There's online performances that has taken place. So I was like, I can't identify anymore. I can't. And there's envy, there's anger, So I think it's really important to say this to myself also, that those experiences somehow needed to happen for me to break through and be who I am today.
Mm-hmm.
And and that there's that with life. Wow, there's always whatever lens that you use. And it's also cringy now that I'm almost saying out loud, and I was saying like, oh, hey, I feel better. No, I just want to share that it is really with whatever lens, whatever happened in life, it is with the lens of compassion, lens of almost like learning your own emotions and unpacking it, almost being like a researcher and having a student mindset too. And it is such a humbling experience, you know.
Yeah.
And that is part of the approach and the work that I see myself, hence the sabbatical leave for now, because I'm focusing on really honing the skill of meditation through the technique of Vipassana and doing all multiple courses and focusing on that. And I'll stop for now. Let you respond.
Okay. Well, that's a. I say it's beautiful the way you see, you know, especially the way that you say that. It's through the how we interpret it, the situation and stuff. So moving on to talking about emotional literacy. So I will be asking you regarding meditation after this, but I will just like to, how do you say it? I googled what emotional literacy is, and it says like, you know, it's coined from this psychotherapist, and the definition that he gave is the ability to understand our emotions, the ability to listen to others and empathize with their emotions, and the ability to express emotions productively. In short, right, how does emotional literacy help an individual and then the people around the individual and also the environment?
Sure. The components of emotional literacy or emotional intelligence, yeah. So when we talk about literacy, right, like literacy talk, again, literacy is basically knowledge of being literate, like you're able to read, that is literacy, to be able to read. But reading alone doesn't make you a scholar, right? You need to understand and apply and make mistake and go through the entire process in order for you to gather wisdom, intelligence. So EQ, emotional quotient or emotional intelligence, is our target, right? Is the goal here. But because it is also in the academic world, emotional literacy is almost like an elitist. Only good schools would offer this. Because I'm also, for the record, I'm not keeping abreast about the latest curriculum in our country in terms of government. You know, government curriculum, the schools, whether they're offering or not, which I think is slowly moving towards this direction. Okay. But it suffice to say, it is still in its infancy. It isn't entirely a solid subject. So imagine in school you have PE, Pendidikan Jasmani, physical education. You have science, you have biology, mathematics, you have chemistry, but what about psychology, right?
Yeah.
So psychology education or psychoeducation is where I am locating myself as a first year provider of information. So it's basic stuff to begin with. All right. So when we have emotional literacy, we hopefully will then develop emotional intelligence. With emotional intelligence, there comes self-awareness, right? Mm-hmm. And self-awareness is key here, actually. It's not, I wouldn't say sexy, or it wouldn't be too visual to say self-awareness for youth. I mean, it could be, but it's still vague. Yeah? Like, what do you mean self-awareness? I'm aware of myself. I know myself. I know where I live. I know what I like and dislike. Sure. But beyond that, self-awareness actually is part of a very key component towards self-regulation. When you ask, oh, how about masyarakat? How about society or people around us? There's embedded in it social skill. There's embedded in self-awareness, empathy, and also motivation. So motivation, I would even go up the ante further to say motivation to do what? To lead yourself, to lead others. So there's leadership embedded in self-awareness as well. So it's almost like a holistic view of the self for young people, I believe. And when I go through, because, you know, it's also a self-learning path of this teacher or educator who educate young people and their parents. But at the same time, as the teacher grow, the pool of the information or the wheelhouse also grow. Things in my wheelhouse, things of the tools that I know, the tools that I experience for myself, especially on myself first, also grow. So with the technique of Vipassana, that is a meditation technique, it is also shaking my, or transforming rather, my understanding, you know, because in Vipassana, there's this huge learning for me is about attachment. When we sit down and close our eyes, we focus on our breathing. And then secondly, you're going to ask me about meditation, but I'm going to liaise to that anyway. When we sit down and close our eyes, we also scan our body. And when we scan our body, we will then have arising emotions, arising images in the mind's eye, right? In our brain, there's a story going on, or even random things as we sit for that session. And so this type of thing stems from two things, fundamentally. Number one is what we like, and number two is what we don't like. So if correct the likes and dislikes, like I just mentioned, with self-awareness or self-identity, is so prominent in meditation, in this technique. So for things that we like, and if we are attached, you see the keyword attachment, if we are attached to what we like again and again and again, we might then develop a not so wholesome way of approaching what we like, that is craving, you know. And craving has this notion or connotation that is a bit not so wholesome, you know. And on the other hand, for things that we don't like or we dislike, is the feeling of aversion, like the disliking of such high degree that we have aversion. Like, I wouldn't even use the word hate, but aversion is, I think, a correct term also used for students. Yeah. So there you go. Having gone through this, it also challenges me as a teacher. Hey, what do I tell young people? How do I translate these ideas, the meaning of self-awareness, the meaning of self-identity, you know, the meaning of motivating ourselves towards success, the meaning of leadership. And so it transforms the way I see even EQ or emotional intelligence. Because, there's also layers to our body. There's the physical body. There's the mind body, or the the mental state and also the spiritual body, the spiritual side of us, these three things, right? When rohani, jasmani, then emosi. So having this new information about attachment, for example, makes me realize, oh, I need to further go deeper, go further and deeper with this and experiencing it for myself in order for me to understand it enough or adequately to translate this for young people, for their parents, for teenagers, you know. Mm-hmm. So that is my current I guess landing, where I'm arriving at, and I just wanted to share with that.
Okay. All right. So that was an extensive, I would say, explanation for the question regarding how does emotionality see help an individual, people around them, and the environment. I think everyone understands now how it is important, because it's from self-awareness, and then we have regulation, and then we have empathizing with other people, and then we have motivation, and then all sorts. It's very holistic, as you mentioned just now. Then you also did mention regarding how, you know, meditation and emotion literacy or emotion interact with one another, and how meditation is, you know, how you say maybe boost or help with our emotion regulation. So for my next question, actually, you somehow have answered it. So I'm just going to combine the next question with the following question regarding, my question is you have experienced many things, right? You have traveled, you have taught so many individuals, you have reflected, you have found something new, which is meditation, which you are so interested in right now, you're so passionate about. So in your experience, what is the most important lesson you've learned that you believe is worth sharing? And maybe it'll be nice if you could integrate how meditation helps people.
Beautiful question. The most important lesson in life, if I were to share, I would equate this question like, you know, before you die, what would you leave with the world? What would you say to the world before you die? So, you know, the stake is really high. So I would still probably say the same thing. It is meditation. I think it's the most important source of wisdom building for me. It is very soft, very kind, very freeing, very secular, very democratic, because every single one of us has our own nose, nostril, and our breath to observe, and we have our own body regardless of shape, sizes, limitation, privilege. Some people have limbs, some people do not, and all of us can observe that, because we are here now with this, in this dimension, being able to observe their physical body. So for me, it is, when done right and properly with the technique that of our choice, and my choice would be Vipassana. That is the technique of body scan. So you scan from head to toe, from toe to head, over and over and over. And of course, while doing that, there are distractions. There are arising stories in our mind's eye, right? And there are also like real physical distraction, like the noise and all of that. So we then practice and exercise the notion of detaching ourselves from distraction or managing attachment. And due to this, I think, because the offering is believing in the noble truth that there's suffering in the world, and the fact that we are attached to our likes, and the more we attach to it, it gets amplified and it becomes craving. And the fact that we can also get attached to our dislikes, and when we amplify that again and again, think a lot about what we don't want, we also attach to the idea of the dislikes and becomes aversion. And there's also such a thing as getting attached or hung up or obsessed with the idea of detachment, you know. So it's like we are in every single session, if done with compassion, with a proper mindset, every single time you be on that mat, there's no such thing as a bad meditation. Because the learning of what you are experiencing is the learning or the experience that you needed at the time. Even sometimes you feel like, oh, so sleepy, I need to rest. So what is the wisdom here? Probably you should take that rest. The body needs rest. And you've been yawning, so take that rest. So it's very humanizing, it's very connecting. Although you do it alone, it is very connecting. So yeah, my shorthand answer is meditation.
Okay. All right. So that's it's really nice, really nice answer. So from what I get from, you know, your explanation is that meditation, which is something that you believe is very important, and it's important because it connects ourselves to our body, and we listen to our body more when we meditate, and we are more self-compassionate, I could say, and thus we would treat ourselves kinder, and that's how we become better individuals, because we understand that our body needs this, or our body is aching somewhere, so we find a way to release the negativity, or at least identify the negativity or the problem, and then from there we slowly, you know, solve the problem or solve the issue. So thank you, Azad, for the half-time answer. Unfortunately, it has come to a close now. To summarize our episode, we have discussed how emotion to see is holistic, and it revolves around who we are and how we interact with ourselves, others, and the environment. We understand better how meditation relates to our emotions and how it helps individuals grow. Lastly, Azad has shared the most important lesson that he believes is worth sharing, which is meditation. This episode could not be a success without our guest, Azad Mazir. Thank you so much, Azad, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today. It has come to an end for today's episode. I hope everyone listening has had an amazing time. This is such an insightful session. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel, The Discovery Series 2KM, on Spotify, so you won't miss out on our upcoming episodes. For the latest updates, you can follow 10A2KM on Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Christina, signing off. We'll see you in the next episode of The Discovery Series.